Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our spoiler-free review for Marvel Animation's X-Men 97. To me, my X-Men. Hello, I'm J-Law, but you can call me Justin. And if you're joining us for the first time, well, we are Geekcentric, a podcast covering the world of movies, TV shows, toys, collectible, gaming, and all things Geekcentric. Joining me for today's mutant-filled, spoiler-free discussion are my fellow mutant brothers, Nate Shelton, Darcy Hudson. How are we doing today?
Hey there, bub.
I tried to think of so many.
The other one I was going to go with was, do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? But that's a different, that's different times.
Yeah, well, speaking about the different times, before we kind of get into talking about this show, I did want to actually ask you guys, like, you know, I grew up with this series. I am a child of the 80s. And, you know, by the time the 90s came along, I was watching cartoons. So I definitely grew up with this show. I know you guys are a bit younger than me. But did you guys watch this show? What was your experience with it in the past, leading into, obviously, this brand new revival series? Darcy, why don't we start with you?
We grew up in the 90s as well, but just because we were a bit later doesn't mean we get all these shows. Canada was famous for its reruns of all the shows that you and my brother watched growing up. So Kevin was definitely being like, oh, you got to watch this, Darcy. You'll love it. If you like Spider-Man, you'll like the X-Men. And I remember watching that. I'm pretty sure I had a VHS for a while too, with a couple of the episodes on it. And this was my first X-Men experience, is watching this show. So I was so excited to see it come back and watch it again with an older perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm right there alongside you, Darcy. I think the biggest thing, I'm just simply so stoked just to have X-Men back on the screen again, because you and I were talking while we were at Comic-Con, and we were talking about, like, I was like, well, the X-Men kind of left, and you're like, in the comics they never left. Mm-hmm.
They've always been there.
For folks who maybe haven't been as into the comics, it is just so nice to have them back on screen. I did not grow up with X-Men the animated series. I was more of an X-Men Evolutions guy, but after binging through a bunch of the original series and watching the finale, everything you've already heard about this revival, this X-Men 97, the hype is real. It's just so impressive what they've done with this series, and mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I think you there's a great call out there, Darcy. Like, for so many people, before we got live action X-Men, this was the X-Men. This was mm-hmm. it. And I know that as people watch this as a fan, as a kid growing up, I was like, when are they going to actually translate this to live action? And there was like some little mini series things that hinted at with, you know, mutants and stuff like that I was, you know, just chomping at the bit, like, oh yes, we're so close to getting live action. It wasn't until obviously 2000 that we got our first entry into the live action X-Men movies from Bryan Singer. But the lead up into it, you know, again, this was the X-Men for all generations. This was it. You know, before there was Hugh Jackman, there was Cal Dodd. Same with Lenore Zahn as for Rogue. Like, there's so much that this series establishes in terms of what would become future interpretations of mm-hmm. the X-Men, which is so fitting. It's to be coming back to the series with a fresh perspective. Let's get you guys up to speed on what we are talking about. As mentioned, Marvel Animation's X-Men 97. It revisits the iconic era of the 1990s as the X-Men, a band of mutants who use their uncanny gifts to protect a world that hates and fears them, are challenged like never before, forced to face a dangerous and unexpected new future. The all-new series features 10 episodes. The voice cast includes Ray Chase as Cyclops, Jennifer Hale as Jean Grey, Allison Seeley Smith as Storm, Cal Dodd as Wolverine, J.P. Karlach as Morph, Lenore Zahn as Rogue, George Buza as Beast, A.J. Locascio as Gambit, Holly Chow as Jubilee, Isaac Robinson-Smith as Bishop, Matthew Watterson as Magneto, and Adrian Hoff as Nightcrawler. Beau DeMaio serves as head writer. Episodes are directed by Jake Casarina, Chase Conley, and Emi Yonemura. And the series is executive produced by Brad Windenbaum, Kevin Feige, Luis Desposito, Victoria Alonso, and DeMaio, featuring music by the Newton Brothers. Marvel Animation's X-Men 97 begins streaming on Disney Plus on March 20th, 2024, which is today, the time of listening to this. You're going to get two episodes on the streaming service right now. We're going to be talking about the first three, but you get two to watch right now, which is great. A huge thanks to our friends at Disney Studios Canada and by extension Marvel Studios Canada for setting us up with these episodes, as well as an interview with Jake Casarina, the supervising director and producer. Yeah, we are stoked. We've been chomping at the bit wanting to talk about this show. So let's get into it. As usual, I have some pillars, look and feel, which will be all-encompassing to animation, action, sound, characters and performances, story and tone. And then we'll just wrap. We're not going to do a score like we usually do just because we've only seen three of the 10 episodes. So we will be sharing what our favorite episode is and what episode we're looking forward to fans seeing. All right, let's kick things off talking about look and feel. And I would just love to talk about the animation really quickly. You know, the animation.
I don't think it's going to be quick.
No, I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to be quick.
Right. I think as much as we've been talking, as we've kind of hinted at, the show keeps so much of the 90s nostalgic vibes in play. The color scheme, the music, the sort of soap opera elements and the melodramatic elements, they're all there. It's the things that you know and love from the original series. But everything has now been upgraded with contemporary animation. You know, I use the analogy that the original animated series, based on the animation style that it used, which is very traditional, it was almost as if you were on the outside of this world looking in. And you got these moments, and it was just a window. Literally, the TV acted as a window into the world of X-Men animated series. Here, with obviously a larger budget and more modern sensibilities of animation and cinematics, the animation is just elevated to a whole new level, which puts you in the world based on the camera angles and the way the camera moves, the way the action is oriented. The way the action is oriented is flawless.
Mind-boggling.
But oh, it's just, it's insane. And there's such a creativity that's gone into using the animation with the power sets and how that all kind of intertwines on a scale that I think is just, that is the, like, the most celebratory thing about this, among other things, but like the look and feel, the animation is phenomenal. It is incredible. Mm-hmm. It is by far some of the best that I think even Marvel Animation has put out. I think this is giving What If a bit of run for its money, in that it's getting so much right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in love with what they've done with the animation. I think the attention to detail in every single frame, like, you can tell it's just made with so much heart and so much care for that original series. And I think the best way that I can describe it, and I've kind of been describing it to people who haven't seen it yet, is like, if you go back into your memory of that original 90s show and rewatch it in your mind, this is what it looks like. It's you know, we always add sort of to things that we find nostalgic, we always add that polish in our brain, but this is actually polished up, and it's magic how they've managed to retain so much of the original look and feel, but also making it so fresh at the same time. It's kind of like a pair of really expensive sneakers from the 90s that were never unboxed. And you know, Justin, you spoke to Jake Casarina. He talked about the way that, like, even just the addition of things like frame judder to give it that nostalgic feel, even though that's something that's not something that you would need in today's medium, they added that by hand. And I love that interview, Justin, that you did, because he goes into detail of just how much work was put into this animation, and you can see it. It's dripping with style. It's so cool.
It's the only word I really use to describe it when I'm talking about it so far is just dynamic, because everything about it is just the original series with just sharper outlines and everything just dialed up to 11, like you said earlier. Like, it, the action scenes in this series are incredible. The camera angles are sweeping, the way that they showcase these powers and the characters using their powers in battle, and how you literally sweep through the battle almost like it's an Avengers splash
movie. Yeah.
But it's just the X-Men animated series. It is so great to watch. And I was halfway through the episode when I was, or our second episode, and I texted Justin, holy crap, this shit's amazing. Yeah. Like, I was so down, and I wasn't even halfway through what we had. So it is such a thrill to watch. And just going further, the sound they've brought back, like, they're taking you right back to that original series, but again, everything's dialed up to 11, where those moments have those cinematic scores almost, but it's that almost breakfast cartoon vibe to it. It's so crazy. I love it.
Yeah, I you know, when we're talking about the music, keep some of that 90s vibe to it. But like the background score, the things that elevate the emotion and the moments within these episodes, there's definitely more of a cinematic treatment to it. There's more of a dramatic treatment to it. It almost ups the melodramatic soap opera quality of some of these moments. And, you know, in a lot of ways, and I know you can attest to this, Darcy, as a big anime fan, but there's a lot of anime elements at play.
From
100%. The visual style and the way the cameras situates itself in terms of its action orientation, but also from the moments of like just quiet, just the way things are framed. And, you know, maybe it's just someone from their mouth down, right? And you're focusing on just the lips or just the eyes, right? Like, it gives you this more focused and more intentional approach rather than, again, as I was mentioning before, with the previous iteration, the original animated series, you're always on the outside looking in. I just feel so much more immersed and wrapped in this world. Let's talk about that theme song really quickly, because it slaps right off the bat. There's a little bit of a change to the music, but it is holistically the exact same. It's definitely been like much like everything else. It's been updated. But how refreshing was it to see this title sequence not really lose much, but just, again, get that upgrade?
Yeah, it's so cool to see how they've almost recreated it completely. And of course, they added some of the new stuff from this series as the additional scenes. But just, you know, the way that they managed to actually showcase the intro, and it's exactly the same moments, just with this updated look. I think the theme, the original Ron Wasserman theme, but now, as you said, elevated by the Newton Brothers, it just gets your heart pumping. Like, you hear that song and you're just like, I'm ready to go. It's back in full force and it's perfect.
Right.
I will never hit skip on that.
Exactly.
Intro song. It's gonna set up every episode, no matter
Disney,
what I'm
just
doing,
take the skip
no
button
what,
off,
however
of,
you watch it. It's,
off of this series.
You don't need it for this one because it sets the tone so well.
And also, just to keep in mind too, there are slight variations from episode to episode. Like, there are interstitials that are switched in and out. And I think that's more in relation to maybe things that will happen in the episode or things that have happened in past episodes, right? You know, right off the top of the first episode, I know everyone remembers previously on X-Men. We don't get that off the first episode, but then after that, we do get back to that traditional previously on. Again, another element that they were able to carry over. But yeah, I think the theme song, you know, it slaps. The new titles, it's, again, it's just upgraded. It's visually cleaner. It still embraces very much what we've talked about with the animation of the show. There's sweeping camera angles and beautiful sort of cinematics that we see featured throughout that have now, you know, take some of the elements from the original title and been updated. But then on the back end of the episodes too, when we're talking about music, you have this beautiful orchestral cinematic score of theme song as it plays in the background as the credits roll. Awesome. Do you know what I mean? Like, just incredible stuff. Like, it's just another way to interpret that music and play with it in a refreshing way for this show.
Yeah. And I want to, because we were talking about what you hear, the audio just overall is it's just as updated and polished as the visuals, right? I think the blasts, the booms, the snicked of Logan's claws has never sounded so excellent and
so
crispy.
Crisp.
And yeah, I think the audio is just as impressive. And like the visuals and like the story beats and some of the cheesy aspects within the dialogue, like, it just adds so much to that nostalgic magic.
Yeah, no, for sure. And just like we were talking about with the animation, the audio, the sound is just elevated to a whole new level for just more of an impact, because like some of the music that when they're building moments, it's crazy the stuff that they're able to do. It really just, I don't know, these three episodes really highlighted for me, and I keep using, is the melodramatic sort of soap opera quality that the show has in this tight 30-minute narrative, right, of doing really quick, concise stories. And in these stories, we get some great characters and some great performances. I want to just shout out two right off the bat in terms of characters that I think that you're going to need to be looking out for and who really stood out in these three episodes, and that's Cyclops and Magneto.
100%.
Ray Chase is the voice of Cyclops, and he was originally voiced by Norm Spencer, and I gotta say, Ray is doing his best impersonation of Norm, and I think even Lenore Zahn said the same thing. It's like
she said that Norm would hate Ray. Like she told Ray that Norm would hate him because he was so close. And I think that's a huge compliment, right?
Yeah, that is that is a huge compliment. But that aside, the character of Cyclops is definitely a huge focus. Obviously, as we know, he's sort of left picking up the pieces of the X-Men after Xavier's death, and that's explored really interestingly in these three episodes, and that juxtaposed with obviously Magneto's return. At a certain point, there's a very clear power struggle between Cyclops and Magneto for the leadership of this team, and just to see that play out, those two characters and the dynamic that they have is so well done in these three episodes.
Mm-hmm. As a fan of the comics, these two characters have undergone crazy shifts in mood and tone throughout their lifespan in the comics, and seeing this series seems to be doing or taking the chance to explore those not so typical storylines for these characters. Cyclops is he has not had an easy go with things, and it looks like we're going to see maybe him go down a path where he isn't the leader, and the fact that Magneto's coming in and stepping in is just incredible. It's I love, again, he was episode 2 was a scene stealer for me when he has his big moment, and there's just the writing and the performance was incredible, and it's what I remember from the first three episodes was his one speech, and that was enough to keep me going back.
Yeah, I think, you know, speaking of characters going through change, I think it's so excellent to see some of the changes that they are making to these original characters. I know for myself, I wasn't a huge fan of Morph in the original series, but here they are incredible. And I mean, you if you were a fan of Morph before, all power to you. But for me, it just I never really caught on to liking that character. But here, the way they showcase Morph's powers, the way they use their powers in combat is so freaking dope. And I think it shows why Morph is such an invaluable or incredible member to have on the team. And they take the character in a direction that I wasn't expecting, but I'm so pleased with. They brought on JP Carlack, as you mentioned, Justin, who is hilarious. There's actually some really funny moments with Morph. But JP has brought some of themselves into the role that adds to the overall message of what the X-Men are all about. And I think that rocks. And I think that's fantastic for a series in 2024, you know, coming off of a series from 1996. So I can't wait for them to be celebrated more.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably talk a little bit more about story and tone, but in a time when in the 90s where they kind of tiptoed around things, it was clear what the indication was, and obviously what the X-Men symbolize and the sort of the political and social references that they made. But again, it wasn't necessarily as in your face as what I think this series is definitely going for in terms of being bold with its statement. You know, most of the original cast is returning for this show, and I was actually lucky enough to talk with George Buza, who plays Beast, and Lenore Zahn, who voices Rogue, both from the original series and returning for this series. And I gotta say, they didn't skip a beat. You know, Lenore is still as sassy and in your face as you remember her as Rogue, and you know, George is just so lovable and incredibly intelligent. He just becomes the character all over again.
His first one-liner, that first Beast, you know, intellectual level thinker type thing, is just like, oh, I miss this.
Oh, when he's in combat and you just hear, you know, might I induce you to a change of heart, and it's just so, everything about it is just so perfect. He's humming his Mozart and saying the cheesy things the way he talks. He's back as Beast, and it's fantastic. And then with Rogue, like you said, Justin, like it's like she never left. She's right back to this character. And again, how seamlessly she's able to bring that character back to life through her performance continues to add to the magic of this feeling like the next season of the original show. None of it really stands out as like, whoa, this is so far different, other than the fact that it's fresher and it's a little more mature. Can I just say though, I do think they didn't need to go as hard as they did on some of the character design aspects with Gambit. I'm sorry, but he's just got the most insane thirst trap pod I've ever seen in an animated show. Like, I'm like, I don't know if they should blur this out, because he's so, like, he is so cut, and he's wearing like a high cut top while he's frying something, and I'm like, bro, you're gonna get that like splashback on you. It's dangerous. But no, it's just it. I was like taken aback when you see Gambit in this show in the kitchen. You'll know what I mean. But so much great Canadian talent, and yeah, everyone just looks and sounds incredible. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, to your point, it helps to add to the nostalgia of bringing back this show and it feeling like a continuation, right? Like it's not a reboot, it's a continuation, right? And, mm-hmm. and in a lot of ways, it's not a reboot, it's just an upgrade, right? It's an upgrade on what we got, but yet it keeps all the quintessential elements in play that really made the special. And I did read an article recently that Kevin Feige's two demands for the show to be coming back, or for them to revive this show, is the original cast and the theme song, the rights to the theme song. And they got them both, and they were like, let's go. So,
get it, Kevin.
Like, I just love that those were his two stipulations. Do you know what I mean? Because that is literally, when you think about what makes this show so special, it's the damn theme song and the cast that brought it. And like, you know, Cal Dodd as Wolverine, like I said, like, he was the original Wolverine. He was the Wolverine everyone thought of. And when they heard Hugh Jackman was going to take Wolverine on, it was like, okay, well, how much of the animated character is he going to bring into his performance of Wolverine? And he sort of does in his own way, but he would go on and define the character of Wolverine and Logan for live action on a whole new platform. But I got to say, it's so good to hear Cal Dodd back. It's like no one's aged. You know what I mean? Like they haven't aged, right? You think that you would hear kind of a bit of an age difference in their voice, but like there's nothing. It's just, it's so clean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, his Wolverine is why Wolverine is my favorite superhero of all time. And like hearing him come back, it's no one can grunt and growl at Cal Dodd. So like if they don't get Cal Dodd to do at least provide at least some Foley for the upcoming Wolverine game, I'll be very disappointed because again, he was what makes Wolverine so special. Like that he's the little short wild animal on the team and I love it. And it's so good hearing him come back to this role.
Yeah, he's just as grumpy. He's just as hopelessly in love, and he's just he's so incredible. And I love that we're getting a version of him that still absolutely just says the first thing that comes to his mind, whether it's the best thing to say or not. And I think the best thing with these three episodes is that each character is brought back in ways that really allow you to get the gist of who they are, or to remind you of who they are if you haven't seen the original in a long time, or if you've never seen X-Men. I think the three episodes that we got just do such a good job of like really getting you into the world and getting you to understand where they've come from and where they're going. So good.
Another just quick shout out. I have a note here. You know, Allison Celie Smith as Storm. My God. Oh. She's a goddess.
Yep.
She has a great monologue in one of the episodes and it really does hit you. But yeah, it's just great to hear all of these voices that you remember from the original series back for this show. It really does help connect and like you were saying, Nate, feel like a continuation. But, you know, we've been talking about how much they've kept the same. There are some things that have changed just a little bit, not much. And I think it really does come down to story and tone. This show has matured with the audience. It's still understands that there's obviously probably a younger audience that will be watching this, but it is very much aware that the audience that is going to tune in and watch these episodes are the kids that were from the 90s that watched it and that, you know, did grow up with it. So there is not necessarily more adult themes, but there is more of a mature tone overall. And I think that you can really see that just basically how today's events and today's like sort of social and political situations, they're so implied in such a direct way that really do make you think, even as an adult now, understanding that much more about the message that this series is trying to say. Whereas before, as a kid, you know, I didn't get that. Do you know what I mean? But now, obviously, and obviously with so much that's happened in the world, it's so clear that that's what they're trying to do, especially in episode two. Darcy, you called it out. Like Magneto has a great moment in that. And I think it's such a beautiful testament to what this show is really trying to talk about in the bigger picture.
Yeah. I mean, this might be a a bit of a rant, so I apologize. But like, when it comes to the steps they've taken to elevate the maturity in the show, I think it's just like the visuals having improved while still keeping the charm that you've already fallen in love with. I think they've done that with the maturity. And I think there's a level of balance in a way that we haven't seen. You know, having watched the original series, like I binged a bunch of the original series. I haven't seen every episode. But you get some incredibly deep and emotional and mature messages delivered, but it still reminds you every other scene that it's a Saturday morning kids cartoon. And what I mean by that is, like, for instance, Storm, like, she's so much better in this series. And not that she wasn't great in the previous series, but Storm, Aurora Monroe, is shown in the original series as having PTSD from a wall falling on her in her home country, and that causes her to experience claustrophobia. So then when she's tasked to bring the X-Men into the sewer to save Jean and Cyclops from being kidnapped by the Morlocks while they were on a date, you know, she struggles with her claustrophobia, and you go, wow, like, they had this in a kid's cartoon in the 90s. That's awesome. But then you see Storm challenge the leader of the Morlocks, who shouts, "No powers!" And then they have to fight with lightsabers for some reason. Like, it was this thing that, again, there's that element of charm there that I completely understand. And I completely understand it was a 90s kids cartoon, and that they had to sort of go back and forth between the level of maturity and the level of sort of silliness and cheesiness. I think X-Men 97, we get a significantly better ratio of maturity to cheesy 90s series charm. I think there's still a few moments of dialogue where I think they make some of the mistakes of the original show, but it's done in a way that you can forgive because it's probably intentional, and it really doesn't hamper the mature moments that showcase, even in these first three episodes, just kind of, you know, how the story changes, where it changes, and it moves quickly at times, but then they still take enough time to give characters that greater impact and to allow them to resonate more. And what both of you are talking about, and I'm excited for fans to see the dialogue from Aurora Monroe and from that speech, and even characters like Magneto, they stay on them for a much longer period of time than they ever would have in that original show.
100%. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, is they're giving those mature themes more time on screen, mm-hmm. where they really, really can talk it out and give these characters some really impactful moments in multiple episodes. Like, the fact that we only got three, but I feel like each of these characters had a chance to,
yep.
to like really dive deeper into who they are and where they are at this timeline. And it's incredible. I love it. The writing is so good. And these actors are bringing it so hard, because you feel every word that they're saying. And there are multiple times where I was bawling my eyes out over these episodes, because they're so relatable and so well written that you understand exactly what they're going for. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the first three episodes that we were given, you know, again, our listeners are going to enjoy the first two episodes, and I think they do work as a really good pair. And I really love the first episode, just of how much it connects to the first episode of the animated series. It's again, just that tangibility, that connection, that reminder of what kicked off this whole series. I think it's great. And then episode two gets a lot more serious, but it serves as the continuation from part one. And then I feel like episode three is, you know, while it's obviously still connected to the main storyline, it feels like a bit of a side adventure, but a very relevant side adventure, and something that feels meaningful and that will have impact, you know, on the events and of the rest of the series. But, you know, again, I think it shows just a nice mix of what we're to anticipate with this show, a mix of really, you know, interconnected and interwoven stories, with again, as we were talking about, sort of mature tone and really taking itself seriously in certain aspects, while also giving us the adventures of the X-Men and the things that they are doing in this world, given that, you know, Charles Xavier is no longer around. It's a different world, and rightfully so. So I think that there's going to be, if anything, these three episodes indicate there's just going to be a really nice balance, you know, between all of this, that I'm looking forward to what the other seven episodes are going to bring. And it's crazy that they're going to do this week to week, because I honestly believe, again, they're going to have a really great week to week conversation about this show. Well, that I think, you know, based on what we've just chatted about here, it's pretty clear that we adore this show. And as I mentioned, we're not going to be able to give, we're not going to give a score on these episodes. I mean, I think
it's obvious what we would give.
Yeah, if it was a score, it'd be a 5 out of 5, a 10 out of 10, whatever you want to call it.
10
right?
out of 5,
you
know, yeah.
Yeah, 10 out of 5, whatever. But I think what I'd love to do and what we've done in the past is just share with our listeners the episode that we enjoyed the most and maybe one that we're looking forward to them seeing. Of the three, I know it's only three, and really at the end of the day, you're getting two. I'll just start, and I think we were both talking. We were talking about it already.
I think we all were.
Yeah, episode two, I think, is really is a fantastic episode. It to me was the highlight of like, whoa, they are going mature. Whoa, this mm-hmm. is where that difference shows the most. It's you know, where it's not necessarily a kid's show, right? Like how you were referencing, Nate, with the warlock,
the Morlocks and Morlocks the lightsabers
and the lightsabers and stuff like that. Like episode two has no cheesiness to it. In actuality, it's everything mm-hmm. feels very intentional. It feels very meaningful. So yeah, it's my favorite episode, and I'm really excited to hear what people think of episode two. It is a Magneto centric episode, and my God, they made him the, you know, the daddy magnet, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
Darcy, how about for yourself?
Mine is also two. And again, it's a great, I'm glad that they're getting one and two together, because I feel like they really deserve to be viewed in that regard, because while, like you said, one is a wonderful return and like down memory lane where you're getting that hit of that first episode back from the first series. This second episode is where, again, is dialing down that tone of being like, buckle up because you're in for a ride and it's going to be a wild one. And it's, again, the Magneto, the writing in this episode, the amount of times where I'm just pausing to and going back and just being like, I need to hear that again, because holy crap, that was so well delivered. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Episode two, I cannot wait to talk more about it.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, and I listen, it's not just because we got to see it with a big crowd and enjoy some cereal on a Saturday morning at the Comic-Con X-Men 97 panel hosted by our friends at the Movie Podcast. But I think episode one is my favorite. I think I loved, honestly, episode two was so good. They're all my favorite. What am I saying? But
they're all great.
They're all great. I think to be clear, that is absolutely true. They're all fantastic.
There's no weak episode.
Yes, exactly.
But episode one does a really good job of just giving everyone gets a fantastic introduction. Like even characters that aren't necessarily on the X-Men team have a great way that they're introduced. I think it pays homage, like you said, Justin, to the first episode of the original animated series with the introduction of Robert DaCosta being on the run. The theme is used both for the incredible intro, but then we also get it in the episode as well. And it's such a hype moment. And, you know, I think even in the combat, we get to see every single mutant gets a moment to shine. We get to see the way that they use their powers in new ways, which is so exciting for characters that have been around for so long to be able to see them use the powers in the way they do. It's like, wow, they could do that. Holy crap. That's so cool. And of course they can do that, but I never thought of it, but they did. And it still takes time to show character growth while setting up, you know, what's to come with an incredible cliffhanger at the end. So I think episode one for me is my favorite, but like you said, Justin, we've got seven more episodes after these first three, and I'm stoked for my opinion to change. You know what I mean? Because I think all of our opinions on what is our favorite episode probably will change multiple times as we mm-hmm. go through this series.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I think they'll all be for different reasons too. So,
yeah.
And what I love is that Disney and Marvel, they're not really hiding anything about the stuff. Like there's obviously probably some things in terms of like spoilers, but again, the full episode list, the dates of which they're when they're coming out, it's all available on their Instagram, on their Twitter, on their socials. You know, you can find out what they're called. And when you see some of the names and you see some of them, you know, they have part one.
They're pretty
and part
on
two.
The nose. You can exactly. kind of infer what's gonna happen.
Well, I'm not
gonna
read
episodes.
Them then.
Yeah, but and then what I'm really interested is for the last three, because there's a part one, two, and three, and it mm-hmm. does feel like that will be a sort of three set close leading into what I've been reading will be a season two mm-hmm. and that a season two will probably happen a lot faster or sooner than, you know, obviously the gaps that we've had in the past with other animated shows like Invincible or even What If to a mm-hmm. certain degree with, you know, large gaps between season one and two. But it does take time. Yeah, it does take time though.
But yeah. They're killing it. Like yeah, they're killing so, it.
Well,
like,
I
honestly come out yeah. of Marvel. Like, granted, yes, Loki was phenomenal, right? And we also really enjoyed the Marvels. But I'm just saying, like Marvel Animation hasn't missed that I can think of.
No, and I honestly think what they're doing with this X-Men series is as sort of a final cap on this is going to give live action a run for its money. Like people mm-hmm. are going to be comparing, and once they start coming out with live action X-Men stuff, like how are you going to bring the level of creativity in the combat and the power sets and how they're used in live action like you were able to do in animation? Because they're mm-hmm. just the way, like you pointed out, Morph is perfect because he can be anyone that we've ever seen in the X-Men series. So and cool. That's what's cool. Like suddenly it'll just be too. Like, oh, so who's yeah. that? Why are they here? Oh, it's Morph, right? Like mm-hmm. it's, you know, like it's just cool to see that level of power set kind of reveal itself in this show. And it's a great way to give kind of like cameos to people. So,
and it's great because then you can go back and flip through your original series of X-Men trading cards and see, oh, it's that character. And you can read their biography in case you don't know who they are. It's great. It's a great experience.
Awesome. Well, that is it for our spoiler-free review for Marvel Animation's X-Men 97, which is on Disney Plus as of right now. I think it's 3:01 in the morning when we've posted this episode. You're probably listening it not at 3:01. Hopefully not.
If you are, thank you.
If you are, yeah, thank you. Maybe it's 12 for you somewhere in the world.
Maybe they drive overnight. We don't know. They're a trucker.
Maybe. But the first two episodes are available on Disney Plus as of 12 a.m. Pacific time, 3:01 Eastern Standard Time. So you'll be able to watch those episodes. Hopefully you've watched them or you're going to watch them after you listen to this review. Either way, we hope you enjoyed it. And feel free to let us know what you thought. A 5-star review goes a long way for us. It really does help us in getting it more geeks a part of the community. But you can also write into the show at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at GeekCentricYT, or on Instagram at wearegeekcentric. We are 100% not done talking about this show. As you can tell from the spoiler-free review, we loved it. We adore it. We want to come back. I want to come back and talk about this in spoiler filled once yep. all 10 episodes are done. Once all 10 episodes are out, we can have a really open dialogue about what's worked about this series. And we will give you our rating, which I'm already like, it's going to be a 5 out of 5, spoiler alert. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, we have a ton of other great episodes covering the Geekiverse, including more coverage for X-Men 97. Like, as we mentioned, the interview I had with George Buza, the voice of Beast, and Lenore Zane, the voice of Rogue. And I also had the chance to talk with Jake Casarina, supervising producer and supervising director of X-Men 97. All those interviews are available both on podcast feeds and on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/geekcentric. We got more reviews, more interviews on the way, so be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. But until then, Nate, Darcy, thank you for joining me for this spoiler-free review for X-Men 97. And as we say,
love ya, bub.
Laters.
Peace.